Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and I'm working on relevant content for you as you are dealing daily with the impact of the COVID-19 virus. This is a bonus episode number 6 and a replay of a Carmcast that I did on March 25th, 2020. Now, we're in unprecedented times, so I decided to release this special Carmcast titled Business as Unusual. In the format of a virtual coffee discussion, this group delivered on a wide range of pertinent topics that we're facing. We're talking lines of credit, SBA loans, sanitizing, marketing, opened or closed waiting rooms, planning, short, medium, and long range as each week passes, expense reviews, and the optimism that you're going to need to get through this. I also did something very special for you. On my homepage at remarkableresults.biz, I'm posting in one area all the relevant podcasts and videos that are dealing with survival strategies and tactics on dealing with these unprecedented times. I've included links to the CDC and OSHA. I thought this live Carmcast video was important enough to release as a podcast. Now, you know, the easy access to podcast audio drives my decision to release these bonus episodes. My panel is shop owner Greg Skolnick from Motorworks in Rockville, Maryland, coach Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting, shop owner Tom Hamm from AutoCentric and Automotive Management Network, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and shop owner Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. And if there's anything I can do to connect you with our industry thought leaders or to recommend a special podcast, just email me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. If you've got a friend that needs to hear this or any of our Remarkable Results Radio's podcasts, please, please share this. Remember, we're stronger together. I'm just overwhelmed by COVID-19, and especially, I don't know about you guys in your state, but in our state, we're in 100% lockdown, except for essential services. I'm going to the bank today because I have to do a transaction at the ATM, and I'm going to wear gloves. Am I crazy?
No.
I don't think so. Not today. No, absolutely not. Is it cold there?
Well, not those kind of gloves.
Well, not those kind of gloves. Okay.
Yeah, why those not? Black ones that, you know, technicians wear or healthcare providers, only because, and don't ask me why, I just don't want to touch that keypad.
That's what pencils are for. The pencil eraser on the back of it.
All right. No gloves, pencil with an eraser.
Use the gloves. That's fine.
Hey, virtual coffee here on a Carmcast. We're going to talk business as unusual. With me is Tom Hamm from AutoCentric, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting, and Greg Skolnick from Motorworks, Rockville, Maryland.
Yep.
What are you doing to my shop owners here, my three shop owners? Have you basically said to any of your people, if they don't want to come into work, they don't have to?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have two of our front office people are working from home today. They are remoting in. We have the technology to be able to remote in and use the computers at the shop right now. The tech staff is a little different, and I'm kind of got a plan for that. I'm hoping we can, before having to really shut down, if we get to that point, I'm hoping we never do, maybe we can start skipping around a bit where a guy works 2 days and then off a day or something like that, so we can cut down on the hours. But there's other options here, too. And I was just researching in our state, we have the state is providing loans and grants for small businesses. So I'm sort of researching into that. I've already done our SBA loan application, which was kind of a task all by itself. I don't know if any of you guys have done it, but it's quite a job to go through that. It took a couple of days.
So, Greg, yep. You've decided to apply.
Absolutely. There's no reason why not to. We have no idea where this is going, right? So in order to protect the company and protect the people, I don't know whether we'll get any money out of it, but there's $50 billion you're talking about putting into this thing, or for whatever amount, we might as well get in line. You know that it's already been impacting our company. Our sales are off quite a bit, but I mean, we're still doing business. We're okay. I hate to see some of these other companies that are closed. You know, those people are probably in more need than we are, but you might as well get in line. I feel like, and I just want to make sure we're looking at all options, you know, whether it be line of credit, I did just open a line of credit for the company, which I've never had for, I've been in business 40 years. I never needed one, just to have a backup more than anything else. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting.
Love to hear all of your opinions.
It's an interesting time that we're in. I certainly in my 55 years, I haven't seen anything sort of this magnitude. And I go to where I have to go, and I've been going for all of these years, is I've got to go to gratitude and try to see it, try to see the good in it, because we can connect ourselves to the, you know, there was a story here, the Costco that we deal with down the street. People are buying toilet paper in the Costco and selling it in the parking lot for 10 times the price.
Incredible.
And if we attach ourselves to stories like this, and if we attach ourselves to the minutiae, the Jerry Springer hour that is this coronavirus thing, we are going to get buried in it. And so I don't know what it looks like for other people, but it's a reaffirmation for me. I just thank God that for all of these years, I've been extremely conservative with how I spend my money, and I don't have any credit card debt, and I've paid off my debts, and you know, I don't have a house payment, and the building's paid off, and I've got a nice nest egg to draw on, but still there's this uneasiness. And what I offer to myself and others is I thank God that this workaholic, Bill Nalu, I installed my own water heater at home. I upgraded to a tankless water heater. That was a 3-day job. And it was nice for my wife to see me at home.
And how much did you save?
I'm starting to get what Tom Hamm's doing.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have to be at work all day long. And I'm enjoying myself. And she's making home-cooked meals. And she's got a part-time job as a social worker. And so they've sort of laid her off. And so she's making these home-cooked meals.
Oh, my God. She got laid off. Did you apply for unemployment?
So she's having to make these home-cooked meals. And we're at the dinner table every night. We're at the dinner table at 7 o'clock, and we're talking about things, and we're talking about sort of what the big picture is. And I guess my offer to the room is the most dangerous people in the history of humanity are people that have surrendered to the things that are uncontrollable. I'll name you three: Jesus, Gandhi, King. Those are the three people, just, you know, out of the millions of people, that there's something really important about saying, I don't know where we're going, but I'm sure as hell not going to be part of this fear mongering. And so doesn't mean that we can't be concerned, but fear and caution are two different things. And so in my case, I'll just give you a quick example. I reached out to a fellow guy that's on my local networking group, and he runs an eco lab kind of service. And I reached out to him. I said, what if, you know, he's slow, amazingly enough, they're in the chemical disinfecting business and they're slow. Like, how could you be slow in this industry? So I said, why don't we get together? We do a drive-through cleaning, desanitizing in our parking lot. You bring your banner. We bring our banner. Maybe we get a TV crew out here. And this is a small business owner reaching out to the community saying, look, we're slow. You know, things are slow around town, but we sure as hell aren't going to be defined by the problem. I'm not going to let it do that for me.
Thank you for that, Bill. Going back to great stories, going back to what Greg said to both Tom and Bill about applying for SBA and credit lines. I love your opinion on that.
It's a smart thing to do. I think the sooner the better. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds.
That's right.
And, you know, if we apply for the loan and get approved, we don't know what we might get. We could be approved and not need any of it, and that would be okay. But I think I'd rather be proactive on the front end and spend the time today to get through the application process and know that I've done everything I need to be in, like Greg says, to be in line for it.
Right.
Then to find out somewhere down the road that I'm really in need of it, and now it's not available or it's impossible to get, it'll be too late. And I think it's, you know, all of this, I think, is demonstrating to people more than ever the difference of being prepared and not being prepared. And I just believe that applying for that SBA loan is part of preparedness.
Right.
Tom, I want you to hold on that for a minute. Bill, yep. I want to ask you a question. Of the percentage of clients that you have, how many have credit lines?
Very few. In terms of a percentage, I'm going to say it's probably between 10 and 20%.
They never needed it.
They've never needed it in a lot of cases.
Maybe they couldn't deal with it.
Or couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, those that need it the worst couldn't get it.
Right.
That's why they were looking to get it. You don't apply for a credit line when you need it. You apply for a credit line when you don't need it.
That's right.
Absolutely right.
Those are wise words. Yeah. It's funny how the bank will only loan you money when you don't need it.
That's right.
Exactly right. You know, I mean, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, right now there's conversations with shops about, and I like to call it preparedness. And to me, preparedness, part of preparedness is to make sure that when the times were good, we were running that 18 to 22% net profit.
Right.
And now the conversations with shops today is, well, you know, you told me that for a long time, but I always thought I was okay. You know, I kept the bills paid and I had enough money and things were okay. Now I wish I had that 20% net profit. Well, yeah, exactly. But now it's too little too late.
Tom, time for you, my friend.
Back in the late 90s, my wife came home one day and she said, there's this guy on the radio called Dave Ramsey. And 10 years after that, nobody still knew who Dave Ramsey was, because he was on like just a handful of radio stations. And we kind of got into that. We actually became facilitators or teachers or whatever the Ramsey. We taught in classes and churches and so on and so forth. And we do most of the stuff today. We don't do everything, but we do most of the stuff that he proposes, his Financial Peace University. So we got into that. We unloaded all kinds of debt and hadn't had a car payment in 25 years, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're not billionaires. I don't have any intention of applying for an SBA loan. I doubt Mr. Nalu does either. I think we're pretty good as far as reserves. And I think the general feeling is or perception is worse than what it is. It's terrible in New York City and Westchester County and Suffolk County and right around in that area. It's terrible. Half the cases in the United States are right in that very small area. I'm in a city of 200,000 people. There's four cases. And I think you're going to find that because of maybe people's behavior, don't know, and a number of factors, that it's much worse in other areas than it is in others. And if most of the people do follow the guidelines, and I'm not talking shelter in place, but the earlier guidelines of washing their hands and don't shake hands and hug people and don't go to work sick and all this common sense stuff, I don't think it probably spreads all that fast. The problem is there is too many people blowing it off. I think for most shops, they're going to see, and I think the government's going to start turning things back on a little bit fairly soon. They're fine-tuning right now. They're tacking down the river or whatever. They're not trying to hit either shore of the economic wreck or the illness wreck. And right now they're kind of heading one way, but they're going to head back the other way too here and find that sweet spot of what's an acceptable level of cases and what's not an acceptable level. And they're going to try to find the sweet spot. So I don't think overall it's as bad as what is being delivered. The media is famous for it. You know, when I was a kid up in Michigan and I talk about snow, and then there's Carm sitting there. They have snow, the snow capital of the world. But, you know, there's a foot of snow, so it took you longer to get places. And nowadays, I'm sure it's that way. Any of you in the north, if there's a half inch of snow, well, you got to run to the grocery store because we may all die. And the media is so insane with this stuff. And I think they're doing some of that with this coronavirus thing, too. I mean, this is how you sell marketing, is you overhype things and just get everybody all wound up. So follow the guidelines. Sure. But it's not as bad as what some believe. Some may lead you to believe.
Anybody close their waiting room?
We talked about it. Actually, one of the things that we're not at this point, but most of the clients are doing night drops. And one of the things we talked about doing was is to just have them pull up front and, you know, put their keys in one of our night drop envelopes, drop it through the slot, and we'll pick it up. You know, one of our staff with gloves on and prepared, and they'll decontaminate their key fob before they go out and decontaminate the car. These are things that we're going to need to start thinking about because you can't see this thing. I think Tom may be onto something that it is kind of hyped up, but because we have so little accurate information, humans tend to just kind of go the other way. It's almost like I kind of equate it to when the power goes off. And then there's that sensation in when the power goes off is like, well, how long is it going to be off? This could be a day. This could be a 10 minutes. It could be. And so we don't know. And so there's this sort of, oh my God, what are we going to do? But this is kind of this long drawn out, oh my God, what are we going to do kind of thing. And so it is a new normal here. And we're going to need to start, being clear about how we're going to protect ourselves, how we're going to protect our staff. I mean, that's my main concern is my staff and my clients. And it's something that we're going to have to do these types of things, whether we close it or not,
Greg, let's share some of the things, Tom, Bill, that you guys are doing. And Bill, any advice that you're giving to your clients for that level of protection, the wiping, the cleaning, the gloves, the distance, everything that's going on, because our audience out there, even though they may be practicing them, they may pick up a great idea.
I, on the waiting room, to tag on to that a little bit, ours is still open. However, and we posted this on Facebook and emailed the customer saying, you can use our night drop 24/7. You don't have to. You can use it when we're open. Right. And also something that's gotten just popular in the last couple of years has been the key pickup, where we actually have six little compartments with custom combinations where people can pick up their keys outside also.
Right.
So, and we're telling people, you may do that 24/7, whatever you like to do. So giving them the options to do that. As far as, Carm, as far as what you talk about, I'm getting so many good pieces of email that are giving the 10 things that you should do. A lot of them are really good. And I think probably the biggest challenge, especially if you're in an area that's not hit too hard, is sitting down with your staff and saying, you guys really need to take this seriously. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge, and to have them, if you leave, not on just a test drive, but if you leave and you go to a drive-through or you get outside of that vehicle, if you leave, then when you come back to the shop, you must first wash your hands before you do anything else. That goes for everybody there. That's just one thing, and I'll let somebody else tag onto that.
Yeah, Greg said something earlier that struck me. And he said, how do you deal with something that you can't see?
Right.
And it goes back to what I was saying earlier about surrender is what do we do see? I shared something, Carmen and I chat every now and then. I'll call him and give him some crap and we'll chat for half hour or whatever. I don't know why he takes my phone calls, but you think he'd be smart enough by now. But conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh with conversation. Greg, I know you're a big fan of his.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
he was asking somebody at one point, he said, a psychic. He says, why do these calamities happen? And this was because of that tsunami of years ago. She said, it's the only time, crisis is the only time that humanity can realize its oneness.
Yeah,
and I go back to it. As soon as I get out of what is bothering me today is this is budgets and payroll and how am I going to deal with some of that? I think to myself, is that the projection that I need to be showing to my people and my community that I'm scared, that I don't know what we're going to do, or am I crystal clear about what this is about and where I'm going here? And so each one of us has an opportunity to reach out to our communities and to be a model of sanity, of clear-headedness, of common sense. Those 10 things that Tom is talking about aren't masks and ventilators and all. It's wash your hands, drink hot water, drink plenty of water, gargle, don't shake hands. Be sensible about how you're going about doing business and don't freaking panic, because panic doesn't do anybody any good, let alone the kids that live at home or the wife that may be a stay-at-home mom that's depending on a husband coming home and projecting what a man. And I don't mean to sound sexist here, by the way. It could be a reverse here, but I'm talking about traditionally here. In my case, as a father, I'm just going to use myself as an example. I got to come home and be in charge. And I'm supposed to protect my household. And my household means this household at my work called Interstate Auto Care. my people need to understand that they have somebody in charge that's got,
right.
got this thing under control, even though we don't have it all under control. The stuff right. that I do know about, I'm on, in control of.
But for an awful lot in our industry to have that level of positivity,
it's hard to do
with the pressure of I'm not prepared. I've been struggling. It's been really tough growing and making my business profitable. I would love for us to, you know, and think of the people that are on with us, the people are going to watch this. This Carmcast probably don't need this. They probably are just listening to us to affirm the things that they're doing. They're okay, but we've got to get down to that next level. If not, we're going to lose an awful lot of people in this area of unknown. Bill, you were saying it, I think, earlier. Every day, Bill Haas, every day we seem to be a little deeper in the unknown. And when are we going to bail out?
I think we are. And I think you have to remember that we're now adjusting to the abnormal because nothing's normal anymore.
Right.
So whatever happens today won't be what's happening tomorrow. And so, you know, it's how are you going to adjust to the abnormal? But a couple things. I want to go back to the waiting room thing. So my advice to shops is to close your waiting room. Just stop it. Now, I was given that same advice for 10, 15, 20 years because I don't like waiters. Okay. It's really difficult if you think about it from a revenue standpoint. It's really difficult to sell to waiters.
Waiters, yep. Waiters
are waiting for one reason. To leave.
That's what they want.
Today is different. And here's what I want people to think about today. When we look at having a waiting room open, when we create an environment where we allow people to congregate and sit and wait, what's happening today is we're creating a lot of work for ourselves because after someone is there, then someone else now has the responsibility to disinfect that area, make sure all the arms on the chairs are wiped down and the tables are wiped down and the magazines are wiped down. And so now all we did was we created a lot of work. And this is not a time to create more work. This is a time to pay closer attention to taking care of our customers, taking care of our partners, our vendors, suppliers, and taking care of our employees. That's where we should be spending time, not wiping stuff down. There's enough stuff to wipe down without inviting more of it. So close your waiting rooms. In fact, I would recommend that you find ways to conduct business today with as little contact as possible. Nobody needs to come in your waiting room. Nobody needs to come to your front counter like Greg was talking about. Use our after-hours drop right. to use throughout the day. Okay? Right. Go out and pick up cars and deliver them so right. that people don't even have to leave their homes. Find ways for your vendors and suppliers to drop off parts without coming into your stores. Set up a table at a side door. When your parts order comes, they drop it off, and they can call you or text you to let you know it's there. You can get it. These are the things that we have to start thinking about is how are we going to do that and be able to protect all the people that work for us, all the people that are our customers and all our vendors and suppliers.
Yeah. Bill, if ever there was, and Carm's had multiple episodes about text to pay, email to pay. If anybody out there listening to this doesn't have this technology, if this doesn't do it, if this doesn't show you sort of why it is, if you want to do touchless service, I don't know how you can legally or practically be able to charge people. And this, you know, this idea of manual entries and leaving keys under floor mats and stuff like that. If you don't already have a policy in place where you've gotten out of that business, we've been talking about this for a couple of years now. If you don't have a way to do this now, get on it right away. Get on it now. Go back to some episodes with 360 Payment Solutions and there's even more than one vendor now that's doing all of this stuff. So,
right. Absolutely.
Although, Bill, one thing I would say, I would respectfully disagree. I agree with the fact that you should close the waiting room. However, what we've been doing, we haven't closed our waiting room. So what we've done, when every customer that walks in the door, and we only have a few coming in the door, we'll wipe down the seats and assure them that everything's been sanitized because we only have three or four people walking in. What's important to me is the setup to this, is the customer sits there and they're watching, and this is a a little thing. You guys know about how I feel about AutoNet TV, but they get to watch TED Talks and they get to watch Candid Camera. They get to watch quality programming on TV so that if they're in there for the first time, they're watching something that they would not see anywhere else in town. And that is quality programming that tells them something about who these people are that are working on their vehicle, the kind of people that are employed in this building. So that's the one thing I would say to that. But I get the health related issue. That's not something to discount.
Thanks, Bill. There's a question that came up from the audience. Hey, guys, the landlords, when time has come to pay, some of us may be short.
That was one of the preparedness things that I'm doing is I do think we need to sort of make two columns on a piece of paper of expenses that we're going to have to pay in order to keep like our health insurance or our business insurance. You don't want to let those lapse, you know, and insurance companies probably don't really care about whether or not they're not going to be that gentle. But I did contact our property management people and ask point blank, you know, hey, can you give us 3 months of a moratorium on the rent and see, you know, because this may be a problem. I was kind of impressed that the response I got was really, really well written and really clear that they can't say yes yet, but they realize this is going to be a big problem. And they're looking at all situations, all options. So I kind of got the impression that they're going to probably allow us to slide for a few months. And I think, you know, we can probably put up, you know, a third of it attached to every rent payment, you know, for 3 months beyond or something. We'll be able to work out some arrangement. I do think you need to, of those two columns, you need to contact these people, some of your parts vendors, some of your rent. I don't know if utilities are not going to shut you off. I'm sort of hoping it's that they don't tack on giant, you know, late charges, which utilities tend to do. But I do think that communicating with them is really important. That's part of the preparedness part. So contact your vendors and just let them know you're here. You know, kind of like what Tom was saying. Yes, we don't have any debt in our company, and we've been putting away money for, you know, every week as part of our routine. And so we have reserves, and I hope not to need any of this additional funds available. But the idea is to be prepared in the event that we do. Again, my goal here is to keep my staff, you know, and that's my idea. So the rent is part of it.
There's two pieces to that. And I think the first part is you stay in front of this. So, right. You contact the landlord, right. The property management company, just to have the conversation to let them know, hey, I'm still here. We're continuing business. Right. Okay. We don't know what the future holds, but you have that conversation. When you're in front of it, that prevents the landlord coming to you 60 days from now saying, why haven't we received right. your rent? Because that's not the conversation you want to have. Exactly. The other piece of this is you follow that conversation up with a letter. And this is critical so that it's documented. They understand where you're coming from and what your concerns are and what your needs might be. We don't know what the needs are, but we have an idea what they might be. So if you're in front of that, you start it out with a phone call and a conversation, make sure you follow that conversation up with a letter.
That's a great point, Bill.
That is good.
Yeah.
I just wrote that down. The other thing I did do, I don't know about you guys, but I know after we had that derecho in our area a few years ago and we had Snowmageddon and we lost, you know, a week here and a week there, whether it was the power out for a week, that derecho thing just devastated our infrastructure. Power poles were snapped everywhere and trees were down everywhere. So we had no power for a week. And guess what? Your business interruption insurance doesn't cover that unless there's damage to your building, right? But it does now, okay? Because after all of that, we you know, went back to them and said, hey, what's up with this? Oh, we have this additional rider you can get. So now we have that insurance, right? So I contacted my insurance guy also as part of this preparedness thing. And I was kind of impressed in a way. He's a broker, so he sells many different companies. He said every single company has said absolutely no way except for the one that I have, which is Erie. He says, Erie is just saying, wait, hang in there. Let's see what's going to happen. We're not going to say no. I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, I understand. But hey, again, business interruption insurance is business interruption insurance. It's income protection, right? So when all of a sudden, not due to anything, it's an act. This is going to be considered an act of God, I would presume. And so consequently, why wouldn't we be covered under that? It would seem to me that we would. But of course, insurance companies like Swiss cheese because there's many holes in it. We'll see what happens, you know.
AJ Neely says our bank has implemented a 90-day payment deferral plan. Excellent. On loans, mortgages included.
Great.
That is being proactive from a banker's perspective. I don't think they want to lose you as a client, but they also realize we're in unprecedented time.
Right.
And, you know, money is very inexpensive for them right now. And they probably will look at the fact that when this all comes back together, they're going to make a lot of money on the loans that are going to be necessary to, you know, improve the economy. And how I look at it is like we haven't lost, as Greg was pointing out, you know, infrastructure, telephone, you know, electricity. We're just going to have to rock on a marketing confidence, you know, bring the people back in to your place as preferred. So I think the money may be spent in the marketing side of the business.
Absolutely.
When and you know, and you have to do that now. You can't lose sight of the marketing. Okay. Right. You've got to stay in front of this thing from a marketing standpoint, too. So if you've decided to keep your business open, you have to let people know you're open. Don't allow people to assume, because they're hearing about all the businesses that are closing. They're hearing about family members or friends or neighbors that aren't going to work or been furloughed or laid off. And certainly they could assume that, well, if all those businesses are closed or the place I work is closed, well, then maybe the car shop's not open either. So, so you've got to market. You've got to let people know that you're open, and it's changing by the day.
And tell them.
So you've got to do the marketing regularly.
And you got to tell them why you're open. And that is that the government says you're a needed service. You're a necessary part. Transportation has to move. And I have to tell you, I think help reaching out and be, you know, having your place be the center of the community from your transportation needs and reaching out to every food pantry, every nursing home is critical.
The other thing is how long have you been talking about how important we are as shop owners, how important we are as an industry? If this is not the biggest affirmation that we are essential to society, that we literally allow, I mean, we transport people back and forth, hopefully in a safe and productive way. If this doesn't get into our thick skulls as shop owners, when we're thinking about whether we should be, you know, advertising a $9 oil change, as if that's going to bring people in the door. This is a public relations effort. You reach out to the community and say, we are here, we're open. How can we serve you, Mr. John Q. Public? What can we do to help you today? Please ask us what we can do to help. And who knows what comes up of it. But there's a food pantry that was looking for some funds and canned goods and all this other stuff. And I reached out to her, and if it's a customer of mine, a friend of mine, said she's running it. And I said, so what can we do to help? She says, whatever you can think of. So I'm going to send her $100. And she says, wow. She says, I wish other small businesses were willing to do that. And I said, well, you haven't really asked. Go out there on Facebook.
Right.
And so I'm telling her.
Why don't you ask for her? You should be the one that asks in your networking group.
Right.
And you know, that's kind of almost what, if we're going to be the centerpiece of our community from a transportation needs, and we're open, and we're open for all the right reasons, then we should be the one that actually asks.
Hey, Carm, you know, something you said is true. If we're going to be there for their transportation needs, all of that's true. But you know what? I put a video out on our Facebook, I guess the beginning of last week, which basically talked about how they are part of our family and we are part of their extended family. And it wasn't about working on cars. I did tell them, you know, hey, we're open. Everybody's healthy. We are taking all these steps to sanitize everything. But we also put out a message saying, if there's anything that you need, if you need food, if you need somebody to get you somewhere or pick something up for you, call us. We're here. We're part of, that's what family does. So this is not necessarily just about the auto service. We're part of their family. And I think that relationship aspect of this is crucial. I mean, it is crucial anyway. Even before this is happening, I believe that the relationship, we're in the relationship business. That's what this is. And here's an opportunity to really shine in that aspect of it. So, I think that we just need to wake up to that. This isn't about $9 oil changes, like you were saying. This is not about that at all. So I hope if the shop owners are out there listening, hey, get in front of this, call these people, talk them. You know, we have a process now that we're making phone calls to every client and saying, hey, how you doing? We're here. You need anything, let us know. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out, but I think people are going to really appreciate the fact that you're touching them because they're home. They don't have anything to do. They're watching the media, which I think we can all agree that the media is reporting what information they know, which is not very much. So everybody gets kind of wound up about it. And so here's an opportunity for us to really shine as a resource for our clients.
Matt Olhert, 22 to 35 days to blow over is a plan that we're working on. And I put that up on the screen for this reason. You know, last week, we had a think tank on. You know, you've got to have your short-term, your medium, your long-term plans, and they're going to be as fluid and dynamic as you could possibly have them. I love, you know, let's end this virtual coffee get-together this morning in a discussion on plans and, you know, and how fluid they need to be. And is this a smart idea, 22 to 35 days out?
I would like it to be 22 to 35 days. I think that even after this thing does go past us, we're going to be feeling this for a while. I believe that this is not, I mean, from an economic standpoint and from I think that things are going to have to wind back up again. It's not going to just all of a sudden start where we left off. As much as I'd like it to be like that, I don't think the reality is there. So I do think you need to keep it fluid. I think you need to over-prepare. That's kind of where I am with it. So we're suggesting that we take it a day at a time, as Bill Haas was saying, that it changes every day, multiple times a day. So just keep your eyes open and do your reading and research, and then don't freak out about it. Let's keep going. As far as plans are concerned, I think you need to start looking at what am I going to have to spend and if this is 3 months, how many payrolls can I make with my backup? You know, I want to keep my people. So how many, I think we're good through July, I think in our company, which is not so bad. If with no income, with no cars coming in, but we're still having work. So I think we're extending it out. If we can get towards the end of this, the third quarter, I think we'll get out from underneath this thing pretty well.
Wow. But, third quarter, scares the hell out of me.
You can look at a short range and long range. I'm optimistic that, the economy will start to come back, not that long from now. And, I think it can ramp up faster than most people think it can. For a whole variety of reasons, but we don't have time to get into it all. The long-term effects, in other words, how much till all the worry of the COVID thing is gone, that's probably 2 to 3 years out, realistically, because you can't really start to close the door on it till the vaccine's in place.
Right.
And that's a long way out. Right. But by finding out how to live with it is what they're doing right now. That's the data they're gathering right now. That's going to allow us to kind of go back to normal and learn how to live with it, just like you live with all kinds of other dangers in the world. But we live with them daily because we've learned how. Planning, somebody made a comment on there, the opportunities. And I forgot your name, and I'm sorry. And the opportunities are huge. Look at the opportunities from a financial standpoint. Your employees that you've been telling them, for years, this living hand to mouth and week to week isn't a good plan. This week, they're listening. They're going, tell me about that again now. Then you had your customer who, because we did a crappy job as service advisors and we didn't explain to them they should fix the $1,500 repair on their Honda Odyssey, they went out, they bought a new Odyssey and a new F-150. So now they've got $95,000 in car payment debt, which they didn't need to have. It was our failure to explain to them what they could do. Some people still would, but other people, we've all experienced this, is you explain to people really what the costs of a new car are,
right?
And lo and behold, they're fixing up the old one.
Right.
And we got to do a better job of that. Car debt is just destroying so many lives and so many families, et cetera, just card debt. But there are opportunities. There's marketing opportunities. We touched on that a little bit last week. I mean, you can call your customer. I agree. This is one I don't like to generally call, but I like the idea under these circumstances to call these people and tell them that, you know what? Some of these car parts may get hard to get your car in now. Some of these car parts, the prices may go up, get your car in now. When this begins to blow over, you've had cabin fever. You're going to want to drive from coast to coast. Let's get your car in now and get it ready. Your car's just sitting in the driveway there collecting dust. It wants to see me. Bring it down. And on and on and on it goes. You can really come up with a whole little list there where you can tell these people, I can give you, how many reasons do you want to bring your car in now, if ever, to get it fixed up? This is the time. And I think people who are aggressive with that are going to tell you, my parking lot's full. So anyway, that's my sermon.
Hey, Carm, there's one thing I kind of wanted to touch on, and that is, you know, I don't know if you remember this about me or not, but we have been pre-scheduling our appointments 6 months in advance for 20 some odd years. And so we've trained our clients that that's how we do business, kind of like the dentist office. I hear a lot of pushback on that sometimes from people. They say, my people won't do that, or it won't work. BS. It does work. It's smoothing things out. Here's a prime example of this. We're able to forecast what's coming in a little bit better. I can't say we're not hurting. We are. I mean, people are hibernating a bit, but we have the opportunity now to make sure that this could really have smoothed it out. Instead of having to go out with a fishing pole and bring these people in like this, you're already doing it. I mean, it's just like the dentist's office. So pay attention to that, guys, okay? Pay attention.
Yeah. Bill Naylor, let me give you your last word, kind of sum up this opportunity thing. And then Bill Haas, I'll let you have the absolute final for this Carmcast.
Tom's great website, the Automotive Management Network. If you're not a member, you better be a member of that soon. He always has these great surveys. I'd love to know if you had a survey out asking the average shop owner whether they consider themselves, in an absolute form, of course, whether they consider themselves a pessimist or an optimist. And if I would venture to guess that if there was such a thing, probably 80 to 90% of us would say, well, of course I'm an optimist. You know, I got my own business. I made it through the first 5 years with the 80%ers dropping off. And that second 5 years, I made it through that last 20% of those people that, so I've made it through. So of course I'm an optimist. Well, it's time to prove what an optimist is today. It's not just getting past the first 5 years or the second 5 years. 30 years into this, you're still going to have to prove that you're an optimist. And so we go back to what we said, you know, all along here for the last, God knows how long, hour now, is it's time to shine. And then if you can't find the optimism within yourself, find it in somebody else, cause it to happen into somebody else's life. And suddenly you feel optimistic. So if you can't love yourself enough to do that for yourself, for God's sakes, do it for somebody else.
Great, great words of wisdom, Bill. Thank you. Bill Haas, firm this up for us.
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about being open and staying open and how all that might work and things we could do. But a word of caution, there are shops that will close, and there will be some shops that will close because they weren't prepared. They didn't listen. They, you know, didn't pay attention to what was going on. Remember too, that there's going to be some shops that close because they felt it was the best thing to do for their business. And they'll survive through this as well, even though they may have been closed for a period of time. The thing that I want to remind everybody of is this. It's more important now than ever to make good decisions in the best interest of your company and your people and the people that you serve. What everybody has to remember is when you go home at night, you've got to be able to put your head on a pillow and go to sleep. Make decisions that will allow you to still get a good night's sleep.
Wise words.
Wow. Thank you, Father Bill.
Namaste, namaste.
Namaste to God. Yeah, good stuff. Hey, listen, on my homepage on the website, anything we've done on COVID-19, any Carmcast, any episode that we've ever put out is listed on the homepage. If any, I even have links to CDC, OSHA, and Department of Labor there, which is where you're going to get the most accurate information. Thank you, Tom Hamm, AutoCentric, and Automotive Management Network. Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Greg Skolnick, Motorworks, Rockville, Maryland. And Bill Haas, Haas Performance Consulting.